Could we turn now to the passage from which we were reading? That's Joshua chapter 14, and we'll read again at verse 14. Joshua 14, and taking our text in verse 14. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Do you have faith in the living God? Here we see a warrior of faith, a man of such passionate faith, such intense faith, that the scriptures tell us that this man Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. What a marvelous testimony to give to any man. He has followed the Lord for many, many years, and now at the end of his life, he is coming to claim his inheritance within the promised land. Here is a chapter that testifies to a whole life full of faith. You'll recall that going through this book of Joshua, we've been taking the general theme of the Christian warfare and seeing what we can learn for our own spiritual battle from the account of the people of Israel's conquest of their promised land, considering from different perspectives. And now I want you to see the method of Christian warfare. And we see that that method is faith. Caleb fought by faith. And so our theme for tonight will be very simply, the Christian war is fought by faith. And we hope to teach ourselves regarding our own Christian warfare through the example of Caleb that we have set before us. So firstly, let's come to see the evidence of faith. The evidence of faith. In other words, that faith was evident in the example of Caleb. Verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. Now the children need to understand that here Caleb is taking Joshua back in his memory to an event that had occurred 40 years before. 40 years before these two old men were young men. They were two of the spies of Israel. And you'll remember that Moses had sent 12 spies into the land to spy out the land. And 10 of the spies came back saying, it's too much, it's too hard, the people are too strong, there's no way that we can conquer this land. And 2 spies came back saying, yes, the people are strong, yes, they are warriors, yes, the land is defended. But they came back nonetheless full of faith in God, Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb is bringing Joshua back to that conversation again and reminding him of the promise that Moses had given him. Even then, Caleb was showing faith as a young man. Verse 7, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. So here you see, faith begins in the heart. Faith was in the heart of Caleb all these years ago as a young man. He had faith. He believed. Now the New Testament tells us that faith is the gift of God, that it's the Lord, it is the Holy Spirit who implants faith in our hearts. We don't believe because we've managed to work up some kind of belief. It's the Lord who's given us that belief, that confidence in God and in his salvation. So faith begins not with great professions, not with great words about how wonderful our faith is. It begins in the heart with that simple belief in God. And here Caleb is giving us the perfect example. He is one who had in his heart faith towards God, faith that enabled him to triumph, even in this difficult spiritual battle that he was engaged in. Because here was a spiritual battle. Caleb went and spied out the land, and he saw, yes, the land is strong. Yes, it is defended. Yes, it is going to be a difficult and a dangerous battle before us. He went, we're told, specifically to Hebron, which was an important centre within the land. He saw there that mountain, on which it seems that there were several different cities, each of them fortified, fenced in, each of them defended by strong armed warriors. He saw there the Anakim, and we're told that these Anakim were a family of men who were marked out by an unusual height. They were men very tall, obviously very strong, very dangerous warriors. And he saw this powerful, this dangerous, this well-defended mountain, this well-defended mountain of Hebron. And it's not that he didn't feel afraid. Caleb did feel fear. He wouldn't be human if he didn't feel fear at the thought of the battle that lay ahead. But the difference was he was looking with the eye of faith. And so he looked and he knew in his heart, the Lord is able to grant the victory. Yes, this is a hard battle, but the Lord is in control. He is on the throne. He's able to give us this victory that we seek. And so we see that we too are called upon to have this same eye of faith. We too in our heart must trust and believe in the Lord and look upon the Lord with eyes of faith and not with worldly eyes. Do you remember that at one time the disciples said to the Lord Jesus, realizing the battle that they were engaged in, they said to the Lord, increase our faith. They wanted more faith. It sounds like a sensible prayer, doesn't it? But you remember how the Lord responded to them. Jesus said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What is the Lord Jesus saying? He's saying it's not great faith that you need. It's genuine faith. It's genuine faith. Your faith can be like that little mustard seed in your heart. It can be very small. It can be a struggle. It can be a battle. It can be, like we're told in other parts of Scripture, like the smoking flax which he will not quench, the bruised reed which he will not break. It can be the smallest spark of faith, but yet, if it is genuine faith, that is what matters. So the Lord is telling us we need to have true faith, true faith. And here Caleb exhibits for us the eye of true faith. I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. He looked, he saw the challenge, and yet he believed in God. And you and I may well ask ourselves, as we look at the challenge before us, as we see the difficulty for the Christian church of pressing on, as we see the challenge even in our own heart of overcoming all the spiritual battles with temptation that we find within, are we looking with the eye of faith to the Lord who can grant the victory? Are we trusting fundamentally in Jesus Christ that he is able to save? Can we truly say that we know in our heart that the Lord will have the victory? Faith then begins in the heart. But faith also is evident in practice. And we see this in verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You remember, children, what happened when the spies came back to report? 10 of the spies said, it's too much, it's too difficult. We can't possibly win this war. Let's forget all about it. Let's just go back to the land of Egypt. There's no way that we can conquer the land of Canaan. 10 spies who made the heart of the people to melt. But Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. 2 of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, stood firm. They had faith And their faith was evident in practice. They stood before the people and they were quite clear with them. We believe that the Lord will grant the victory. Caleb said to the people, "Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." And isn't that the message that we need to hear as we see the scale of the opposition, as we see the difficulty of the Christian warfare? Don't we need to hear that voice of faith that says, "Fear them not"? And don't we ourselves need to have this faith that says, "Fear them not, they are bread for us, for the Lord is able to grant the victory"? Caleb, you see, understood that the Lord is on the throne. He maybe couldn't always see it with perfect clarity, but he was willing to follow. And that's the way that his life is described. He's described for us as one who wholly followed the Lord his God. To follow is the ultimate in faith, isn't it? To walk after someone, trusting that they know the way, trusting that they can guide safely, that they can lead you through every hazard. And that is what the Christian has towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith that he will lead us to the victory. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. What about you and me? Are we wholly following the Lord our God? Are we trusting in him and walking in faith that he will grant the victory? And let's see that faith holds to the promise. Caleb had been given a promise and he held on to it. Verse 9, "Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." You see, Caleb was given a specific promise. It wasn't just the same general promise that the people of Israel had, that the land of Canaan would be their land. It was more than that. It was a specific promise. Caleb himself, the man, he would inherit that portion of the land that he had gone to. He had gone to Hebron, this particularly strong, this particularly formidable, fortified mountain. He had seen all the danger of that place. And Moses said to him, "That will be yours. You will inherit it. Here is the word of the Lord that this is given to you and to your family." Faith holds to that promise. And so Caleb held to that promise year after year. The Lord has given you and I a promise as well. It's not just a vague general promise. The people of God will be saved. He's saying it to you. If you are trusting in Christ this night, he's speaking to you and he's saying, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." And if you're pressing on in the Christian battle this night, though it's hard, and though you're weary, and though you're cast down, and though you're feeling that sometimes the devil has the upper hand, yet that promise is to you, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." And as you press on, you can see before you the promised inheritance with the eye of faith, like Caleb. And you can look forward to that day when you will receive that inheritance of an everlasting salvation. It is a promise of the Lord, and therefore you can trust in it and hold to it. But what do we need? Faith in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point of the Christian walk. We can't go beyond that, can we? Faith in Jesus Christ. And if you are seeking to continue in sins, if you're seeking to walk with this world, then understand that these promises are not for you. That you are choosing your side, and you're choosing your side against the people of God, in opposition to them on the other side. Even now, the call of the gospel must be the same. Repent of your sins, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom is coming, and if you wish a place in that kingdom, then you must repent of these sins and trust in Christ, who alone can save. So let each one of us lift our eyes to him and trust in him and have this same faith in our hearts in the Lord who can save. So we've seen then, firstly, the evidence of faith. But let's see, secondly, the effect of faith. How did this faith work itself out? How was this faith effective? What effect did it have in the life of Caleb? The effect. Verse 10, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." A long time had gone past since this conversation. Caleb had received a promise, and for 40 years the people had wandered in the wilderness, had waited there until the Lord's time was right. It was a long, hard battle of faith. And let's see from this passage that faith gives perseverance. Caleb had a long life to lead, but he had to lead it by faith. He had to keep trusting in the Lord Jesus as Saviour. It was a weary time. There was hard fighting. There was constant danger. There was much opposition because the people of Israel were constantly rebellious. At times, Caleb's faith must have been tested, and tested sorely. No doubt he struggled, and yet he endured. Faith gives perseverance. And that is our experience as believers, that though it is hard, yet nonetheless we persevere. It's like the Lord Jesus says in the parable of the sower. He says that that seed that fell on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And that so often is the picture of the Christian life. It's patience, it's endurance, it's perseverance, it's keeping on going, even when circumstances are hard and difficult and challenging. And here is the challenge to us and to our faith, to persevere and to press on in the midst of a hard world, an indifferent world, a world that doesn't believe in Christ, that doesn't love his gospel, to press on, waiting for the promise that is to come. As the psalmist says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." This doesn't come naturally, does it? And yet it is so vital for us to wait, to persevere in faith, trusting in the Lord. This is true faith that endures, that struggles on, that perseveres right unto the end. So faith then gives perseverance, but faith also gives strength. Verse 11, Caleb says, "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in." Caleb is obviously describing the supernatural blessing that the Lord had sustained his strength in a miraculous way, so that at the age of 85 years, he was still a strong, fit man, just as he had been at the age of 40. The Lord had obviously done this miracle for a reason, so that he would be able to participate as a soldier in the conquest of the land of Canaan. But this applies in terms of faith and in terms of the spiritual battle that we wage as well. Yes, our physical strength is not sustained into old age, but we don't need that, because our battle isn't a physical battle. It's not against enemies armed with swords and shields that we fight. It's a spiritual battle. And what we see is that old Christians who have persevered long on the road, who have pressed on, who have endured, they are strong in faith. Faith gives strength. And it is a beautiful thing to see an old believer who still loves the Lord passionately, who is still clear in their faith, clear in their commitment, strong on the side of truth and on the side of the Lord. And the remarkable thing is that they may not even be able to see it themselves. They may be very down on themselves and down on their own experience. But we can see it, can't we? We can look on and see, well, here is a child of grace. Here is one who in old age is still bringing forth fruit. Here is one who is beautiful in faith as an old, elderly person, long on the way, still strong in faith in the Lord Jesus. Says the prophet Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And this is, of course, referring us to faith. Faith gives perseverance, but faith gives strength. And how we need strength in the midst of the Christian warfare. So perseverance, strength, but faith also gives confidence. And we see this in verse 12 as Caleb continues to speak. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. It's a fearsome challenge that Caleb is describing. This was a mountain upon which were not one, but several fortified cities, each one with a fence around it, each one protected by warriors. He's describing a mountain. That means that any invading force will have the gradient against them. They will be fighting uphill to conquer this stronghold. And he's describing the Anakims being there, these great giants. This family marked out by their remarkable height, these strong and powerful warriors that would have to be faced, and yet see the confidence that comes through this verse. Is it confidence in self? Is Caleb just very confident in his ability with a sword or with a spear? Well, that would be foolishness indeed in such a situation. But rather we see that his confidence is in the Lord. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So you see, he's saying, the Lord has promised it, the Lord will be with me, therefore I can win this battle. The Lord has the authority, and he's given the promise, the Lord has the power to grant the victory. And so you see, he's got this holy confidence that comes from true faith in the Lord above, the Lord able to grant the victory in the midst of the battlefield. It's like the psalmist says in Psalm 135, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all deep places. That's the point, isn't it? What the Lord has pleased, that is what he has done. He has brought his purposes to fruition. And here we see that the Lord's purpose is victory, and so the Lord will grant victory. And true faith is rewarded as Caleb trusts in the Lord to lead to this victory that is certain. It's the best confidence of all, isn't it? Confidence in God himself. Ask yourself, do you have faith? Do you have confidence in the face of death? Do you have confidence at the thought of appearing before God? Well, if we had confidence in ourselves, that would be a very foolish thing. If we thought, well, I've never done anything very bad in my life, I'm sure I can appear before God, that would show a remarkable, a fearful lack of self-knowledge. But if you have confidence in Jesus Christ, if your trust is he is able to save, and he is willing to save, because he has promised in his word, and I am trusting not in myself, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you can say that, then you have a good ground for confidence in the face of death, and for confidence in the face of God. The Lord has said to us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if that is so, then the Lord is waiting for us to come and to join him there. The Lord has made the way. He's made the preparation necessary. And if our confidence is in him, we can take that path that he has laid down for us. You see how faith gives confidence in the face of what otherwise would be so hard, so difficult, as to be almost overwhelming. This is the confidence that comes from above, and it is the product of true faith. Oh, if we don't yet have this faith, if we don't yet know what it is to have confidence in the face of death, then let's come once more to the feet of Jesus Christ. Let's come to trust in Him and to embrace Him as Lord and Saviour. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, that we might all find that rest that is to be found in Jesus Christ. So then we've considered the evidence of faith and the effect of faith. But let's see thirdly, the end of faith. Verse 13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. You see, it was the reward, just as promised. All these years before, Moses had said, the land where your foot treaded upon, that land will be yours. Now the promise is fulfilled. Joshua says, yes, Hebron is yours. That is your inheritance. That is your portion within the promised land. The promise was fulfilled. You see, the Lord is faithful, and the Lord fulfills His promises, just as He has said. And you and I have the same confidence if our trust is in God. His promise will be fulfilled. I go to prepare a place for you. And He has made that place. The inheritance is there. It is waiting for us. Our place is assured. And so we can come and we can trust that the Lord will indeed give us that inheritance. The reward as promised. The reward as granted. Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Don't you see how necessary that last section of the verse is? Hebron became his inheritance. Why? Because he was good at fighting. Because he had a good battle strategy. Because he managed to defeat the enemy. Was that the reason that that became his inheritance? No. It became his inheritance because he wholly followed the Lord. Because he trusted in the Lord. Therefore the Lord granted him the victory. Don't you see? It's not that he managed to obtain it by his own efforts. But rather the Lord gave it to him. And salvation is always like that. It is salvation by grace, not salvation by works, not something we've earned, not something we deserve, but something given by the mercy of Almighty God. And that is so beautiful, and it's such a wonderful thing to reflect on, that He has given a salvation to which we had no right, nor did we have any reason to expect it. Hebron was a special place. It seems to have had a certain status. It was the place where the patriarchs had lived and died. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, they were all buried in Hebron. Later on it became King David's capital city for 7 years until he moved to the city of Jerusalem. So it was obviously an important strategic centre. It was a rich inheritance. It was a valuable inheritance, having that significance, that honour. But the Lord honours His people. And you and I can trust Him to honour us. And if our trust is in Him, that He will vindicate that trust in due time. And that He will grant us a worthy inheritance in His promised land. The reward as promised, the reward as granted. The reward, let's see, as conquered. Verse 15, and the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. You see what the writer is doing? He is bringing us back again to remind us of the scale of the battle which was before Caleb. This was a battle against giants, not against men of ordinary stature. It was a fearful battle. No doubt it was a hard fight. Probably there were losses. Probably there was much anguish and much pain and much tribulation. But Hebron was conquered. The land was taken, and Caleb received
his inheritance. It was a conquest. And you see, that's our experience in the Christian life. It is a warfare. It's a real struggle, a real battle. The devil is a formidable opponent. He is bringing into our mind all the time temptations, confusion, uncertainty, doubt. All the time we are meeting with spiritual opposition, and if it's not spiritual opposition, then it's physical and actual opposition from those who oppose our faith, who mock, who ridicule the precious things of Christian truth. But through that fight, through that battle, we press on towards the final victory, the final inheritance. And that's always the picture of the Christian life. It's like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. He's described to us confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's the point, isn't it? There's tribulation, but beyond that lies the kingdom of God. You and I are called upon to be Calebs, warriors of faith in the midst of this sinful world, to press on to receive the inheritance which the Lord has for us. You see the final words of the chapter, and the land had rest from war. There is a rest to come. The war does have an end. The Lord will grant the victory, and at last there will be perfect peace. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And that's a precious thought. If we're feeling weary, if we're feeling exhausted in the battle of this world, the rest is yet to come, and it certainly will come. The Lord will have the victory, and his victory is the rest of the people of God. But for now we are on the battlefield, and for now we press on in the fight of faith. The Christian war is fought by faith. Just as we conclude, a couple of thoughts of application. If your trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then endure. Press on. See the example of Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord his God. So do the same. So follow the Lord wholly, entirely. Trust in him and trust that he will lead you in his grace to the promised land that is to come. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold upon eternal life. And if you're feeling embattled, then remind yourself, he will have the victory. Your faith is not in yourself. You're not trusting, I can win, I can overcome, I can endure. What you're trusting in is that the Lord will grant the victory, that he will enable you to endure. Your trust is not in yourself, it is in God. So remind yourself of that, that it's his work, it's his victory. And take comfort in that. And see that he is able, that his strength is sufficient, and that he will grant the victory. He will achieve all that he has purposed. But what if your faith is not in Christ this night? What if you're not on that road? What if you're not fighting on that battlefield? If you admit it, if you see that lack of faith, then see this is the only path of victory. You cannot win in your own strength. You will never be good enough to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so you see, we're left with no alternative. There's no other way of salvation but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calls you to himself this night. He offers to be your Savior. He offers to lead you to his kingdom of everlasting peace. There is a gospel. There is a way of salvation. There is hope in him. Will you come to Jesus Christ even this night and find everlasting salvation in him? May God enable each one of us to come to him and to find in him the victory. Amen.